Hi, this is Paul Warne, and you're listening to the Rams Review Podcast.
This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Rams Review Podcast with your host, Jason. This week, joining me for, I've got a feeling, a very interesting 60 minutes, I've got two guests. I've got Kai Smith. Kai, nice for joining us, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, nice one. Thank you for having me on. It's been a while in the making, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has indeed. And I say, just before we've just said it off air, this could be an interesting hour. And Tom Porter, Tom, nice of you to join us, mate. Thanks very much.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you for having me. Like Kai mentioned before, it feels like we've been speaking for a little while to be able to get this over the line. But thankfully, I'm injured for five aside, so I can't attend tonight. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Well, it's great to have both of you on. And as we said, unfortunately, for the first time this year, this season, should I say, we are going to be covering back-to-back defeats for Derby County. And it's not just, obviously, the back-to-back defeats that are in question and have to be spoken about. It's also about the performances. It's also about various other bits and pieces over the last 290 minutes that most Derby fans, I think, would agree, have had to endure over the last 4 days. Rolling in from the last podcast, and so we was looking into it after a shaky win over Cheltenham, I believe it was, on a couple of Saturdays ago. And then you go into, no doubt, Barnsley, obviously, on Saturday. We'll start with that first, which was obviously a team in quite good form, a team who were kept going into the top six, creeping towards that automatic promotion chat, and probably one of the bigger tests that Derby have faced just recently. Certainly since the, I think it's fair to say, the downturning form of Derby just recently. Obviously not necessarily the results, but certainly a downturn in form. Obviously commoned up with missing James Collins, missing a couple of others as well. But we went into that game. Tom, I'll start with you. We went into that game, Oakwell Saturday, obviously buoyed by 5,000 Derby fans going to Oakwell. Obviously, it was a big turnout for them as well, that they made the atmosphere. I didn't go, but I heard the atmosphere was pretty decent. Only, actually, the stream that I got was just for the first half, which turns out was probably not the end of the world. But I was disappointed that obviously I didn't get to see the second half. But you know, we go to a promotion rival, and from what I saw in the first half, and I think a lot of what we're going to talk about the two games that we've witnessed over the last 4 days, there's going to be a lot of similarities. We went into it. I mean, Barnsley, certainly, it was very fast paced for me. I think that's probably the most fast paced I've seen Derby play for a while, and Barnsley kind of forced them into that. And I was all for that. I had no problem with that whatsoever. It's nice to know that extra fitness work that apparently they all do, and, you know, we're a fit team and all that, was actually shown. Makes you wonder why we can't play like that normally. But that opening gambit of Oakwell on Saturday, the pace was good. It was a boyish atmosphere. It felt like, I've seen a couple of people mention this, it felt like a playoff game. It was one of those. There was a bit about it. And let's face it, Derby, as being the away team, acquitted themselves quite nicely, find themselves 1-0 up from a set piece. And as we'll go on to in a little minute, unfortunately, for the second time in two games, sort of the arse fell out the back of Derby. And it feels like at the moment that if Derby score too early in a game, I don't know if the players can't cope with it. I think that's a bit unfair. I don't know if the tactics and the style's wrong, but I think we've seen it many, many times this season, Tom. When Derby have got an earlier lead, no matter if it's home or away, actually, the onus of Derby then to go on and dominate the game and take the game to the opposition, which I think on Saturday at 1-0 after, 18, 19 minutes, they could have comfortably have stamped their authority on that game, but they didn't. They allowed Barnsley to play a little bit, and obviously ultimately we end up conceding and going in at the break level. But there's a couple of alarm bells, and I want to try and focus on Barnsley and focus on Charlton last night in two different things. But as I say, there's going to be a lot of sort of cross-referencing, because it's two performances that were exactly the same. Derby took the lead in both games and then almost sort of just didn't know what to do to take charge of the football match.
Yeah, agreed. It's almost one of those things, like you mentioned before, where you watch the team go 1-0 up, and like recollections of like back in the day with like Cluffy and managers similar sort of style, where it's almost like we want to park the bus and not kick on. Like we've watched in recent history, obviously, with like Lampard taking control and that, where, you know, you go out there and you'd be like, right, okay, we go and score one, let's go score four more, you know, and it, regardless of what's happening towards the back, which, you know, ultimately let us down in certain circumstances. It's just more of a case of that for some strange reason, we're not going out there and setting our stall high, like as in we want to go and get like four goals. We don't want to go out there and just get the one. We haven't had the high scoring like wins that we've had in previous years. So it's been an interesting thing where, like you mentioned before, you kind of go out, you go all guns blazing, 20 minutes passes, we score within those 20 minutes. And then almost we kind of go, right, okay, we've got the job done, but you've got another 70 plus minutes worth of football that you've got to go out there and perform. And if you're not putting these teams away, a lot of them, like you say, they start to play against you, you know, and the tells were there on Saturday, but also obviously last night as well, where they get the bit between the teeth and think, well, actually, we can take this to them. Especially when, like you mentioned before, you go out away to somewhere like Barnsley, where they're in form, you know, they're looking to try and get playoffs. They're a little bit further away to get the automatics, in my opinion. But, you know, they're definitely going to be up there, you know, fighting for those positions towards the end of the season. So, yeah, it's frustrating, that's for sure. It's a massive frustration, in my opinion.
Guy, we focus on Saturday. And as I say, I actually don't think over the whole of, well, I say I only saw the first 45, but I don't think Derby were second rate. I don't think Derby were second best. I thought they took to the challenge. As I say, it was quite fast paced that first half. And something I think it's the way that Barnsley play. And obviously last season, certainly at Oakwell, they absolutely battered Derby, as we well know, and got the 4-1. 4-1 victory. We tail it back to the game against Barnsley at Pride Park this year, where Derby absolutely steamrolled them, in all fairness, without really getting out of second gear and getting that 3-0 win. I think everybody kind of expected Barnsley to play the way that they did on Saturday. And it's not all going to be negative tonight. I mean, a lot of it will be, but not all of it's going to be negative. I think Derby equipped themselves in that first sort of half hour, 45, well, yeah, certainly the first half hour. But as we've just been, you know, chatting about, we got the lead. So I've seen some people say against the run of play. I'm not so sure about against the run of play. And again, it's a topic that's going to come up a lot in the last two games that we're going to talk about, where obviously both goals have come from set pieces, which is what we know is something that Paul Wall wants. But the lack of, obviously, goals from outfield play, if you want to call it that, over the last couple has been a bit of a concern. But, you know, you go into one of your rivals, you've taken the lead, you've almost, as you do in away matches, you weather the storm a little bit, even though it wasn't quite like that. It was quite end-to-end. You nick, if you want to call it that, you nick a goal. You get a goal that's, you know, deserved from a set piece. Probably should have scored from the first corner as well, obviously with it being cleared off the line. And we'll move on to the goals in a little minute. But just the mentality then, as me and Tom have just discussed, there's clearly something, and it can't just be the players deciding to shut down. So this has got to be an instruction that's, for me, coming from the sidelines. And we'll talk a lot about management and the way that that's going as well tonight. But, you know, you go into that game and you find yourselves 1-0 up, and it's surprising the way that a goal changes a game for, unfortunately, the negative, especially when you're talking about Derby. Normally a goal, you know, a goal can change for the positive, but a goal changes for the negative. I mean, your opinions, Kai, on that, you know, first half at Barnsley, really. Derby shouldn't, I've no problem with them scoring the goal that they've scored. And as I say, we'll talk about the goals in a little bit more detail in a minute. It's a solid finish from them. But it's just the way that Derby do have taken the lead, and then they've not kicked on, which is something that I think frustrates a lot of fans.
Yeah, I think it's something that's been an issue for all of Warren's tenure, really. You could even look back to the start of last season, Port Vale at home. Obviously, that's again on Saturday, where we seem to take an early lead. And it's almost like the psychology of the team's not right, where they seem to feel inclined to sit back. Whether Warren's telling them to do that or not, obviously none of us would know that until we get a seat in the dressing room, but I can't see that happening. But it's one of those. We are an old team, and obviously the natural thing to do would be sit back and defend a lead. But we've proven time and time again, we don't have the ability to do that because we get punished. And we have seen some wonder goals scored against us. And you've already said, we'll talk about the goals in a second, but that the games like that where you're playing against your promotion rivals, they have players who can put a ball into the back of the net from 25 yards when it needs to go in, like we have as well in Hourihane, who's done it against Burton and other games as well. But sometimes you don't get the rub of the green of those moments. Sometimes you do, but we allow them moments to happen, and that's happened far too much. Wickham is one that still gets on my nerves and still makes me angry now. And that was, what, 2 months ago? And we just seem to try and cost ourselves. And again, like I said, I don't know if it's something that comes from the manager, if it's the players, how they seem to react to a goal. Obviously, you are more inclined to just sit back once you score because you are more at risk of conceding because the other team's got nothing to play for. Well, they can just come out at you by that point. But yeah, it's something that needs addressing. If it will be, well, it probably would have been by now already because you're going into March and these issues should have been sorted in September, October, like Barnsley have sorted their own issues. So it's probably a little bit too late to look back at goals like that because we should have probably been in comfortably the top two now without having to rely on Bolton losing to seemingly everyone in the Northwest region. But there's still a long way to go, and it's going to be a low amount of points this season to get yourself promoted, which is probably a very good thing for us.
Yeah, it's a key point at the end there that we'll definitely move on to in a little bit. But as we say, we'll move on to the sort of the goals of the game, Tom. As we say, we know Paul Warren loves a set piece. Another goal from a set piece. And to be honest with you, we almost should have scored from the first one. That first corner of that move, the second corner comes in, and I mean, Bradley is absolutely busting a gut to get on the end of it. No problems with that. That's when Paul Warren says about set pieces can change games and scoring goals from set pieces can change games, I think he's absolutely spot on. And it's great that we have added that knack to our game, because I think over the last few years, it's been something that we've been pretty poor at. But at the same time, obviously, trying to keep Barnsley in isolation. But because of the last three or four games, where we've struggled to create anything other than chances, really, from set pieces, you know, you don't want to rely on it too much. And as I say, you look at the whole game against Barnsley, we had, obviously, we had one or two opportunities, but again, and I think this is going to be a sentence that pops up a bit on the pod, for a team who for somehow are in second, and I certainly can't say deserved, somehow are in second, no matter if you're home, away, top, against top or bottom, there's not enough chances being created. And so the onus on set pieces is great, but if that's all, you know, you can score off one and that's fantastic. And then, as we've just kind of alluded to, if then the tactic is sit back and you know, allow a little bit of time and try and hit them on the break, well, obviously Barnes's equaliser was, you know, it just shows why you shouldn't do that kind of thing. We lose the ball on the right, well, sort of, from an attacking sort of position, and you could see it coming. And I must admit, I was sat there watching it, and I'm like, who's picking him up? Who's picking him up? Who's picking him up? And I've seen a couple of people say Bradley sort of hesitated. I don't actually think he did. I think he reacted to it quite well. It should never get to that position where they've got a player like Phillips who can score a goal like that. He shouldn't be allowed that much free time, you know, on the edge of the box and a free shot at goal. So I'm not going to slate Bradley there. I think he's actually probably the only one to react. And
yeah, there's easily two other players as well within that shooting range. So you've got Cashin and looks like Elder as well, that easily could have dropped a body over it. You know, you can't put all the blame on Bradley. Like you say, that lad's going to hit it. You can see it's going to land to him, and he's got one thing in his mind. He's going to hit it as hard as possible. And sure enough, like you say, if you sit back enough, you're going to give them that opportunity. So yeah, it definitely is like a frustrating thing to see. Like I mentioned before, I didn't really see the full match. I saw a good chunk of highlights, and I'm, you know, reminding myself before coming on to this onto the podcast with a highlights video on YouTube from Barnsley themselves. And it's not very often that it's under 2 minutes in length. So it kind of shows how little chances both ends had. And obviously, the first goal to concede against them is just a brilliant shot, don't get me wrong. But like I say, there's three bodies on the way to goal there, so that could have easily have put themselves on the line. So yeah, you can't really take your frustration out on Bradley, because he's coming in from literally from the side of the player. So it's not like he's coming in from a front challenge and things like that. You've got Cashin kind of stood there that could have possibly moved over. Elder's a little bit too far away, in my opinion. But yeah, other than that, I think, like you say, you sit back too long and they're just going to do it. And that's what's happened, unfortunately. And frustrations there. Obviously, we can score from set pieces, but if we start conceding from set pieces as well, that's going to be a hell of a long season finisher if we're starting to concede corners and then obviously concede from them, and likewise with free kicks, etc. Yeah, be kind of a daunting 11 games, is it, that we've got left? Yeah.
Now, again, another talking point we can move on to in a bit. Mm. But Kai, we move into that second half, and as I say, unfortunately I didn't get to see the whole of it, but I've seen the highlights, and I don't think it's any surprise, you know, a team like Barnsley who have been progressively moving up the league over the last few weeks, you are expecting a certain level of dominance, a certain level of performance, and Derby just needed to be resilient, which, from what I've seen, you know, were quite resilient. Another hot topic to talk about, we've got so many already. Another hot topic is obviously a target man for that game and trying to relieve the pressure, because the ball just kept going away and coming back and coming away and going back. And then eventually, obviously, we concede from the corner. I have to say, I don't know if it was tactical or not, but to play in one direction for the first half and then all of a sudden the sun was just absolutely beaming down at Oakwell straight on Joe Wildsmith's eyes was, you know, I'm not saying that's the reason we conceded it, but it, you know, it, I could see, I think I saw, sorry, no, I saw, I think I saw the first 10 minutes. I think it was in the first 10 minutes of the second half where they just humped a ball forward and Kane Wilson doesn't know where that ball is because, you know, because of the sun, and they get a shot away. And obviously Joe, luckily it's a comfortable one for him. So I'm not blaming the weather, but in all fairness, Derby went into that second half. Okay, it's 1-1. But still had a, you know, a foothold in the game. But again, they allowed the pressure. They allowed Barnsley to play in front of them, which I understand at times you have to do. But and especially at the moment, because we didn't have in that game a focal point to aim the ball at, it just kept returning and returning. And I think eventually it was a matter of when, if not if, that Barnsley were going to get that second goal, which they did from a corner. I mean, Cashin, we're not going to call him out because he's been, you know, he's been instrumental this season, but he does miss his header. And in all fairness, it's a very good finish. Joe Wildsmith probably ain't got a chance with that. I'm not going to start picking bones with it. But then, you know, the final 10 minutes, Derby absolutely, you know, go hell for leather with unfortunately no return. But it's just a wonder why the tactics are the way that they are. I mean, I'm no football manager. I don't think obviously any of us here are. But it just makes you wonder. I mean, Barnsley obviously were going to retreat, especially going 2-1 up. I understand that. I just don't. It's almost a two-pronged question here, Kai, but it's just a wonder the way that Derby set up and played the game when, as I say, that first half was quite fast and furious. The second half wasn't quite the same. But then the final 10, they pushed and pushed and pushed and, in all fairness, you know, could have nicked something towards the end. Why are we sitting here, sort of as you mentioned a minute ago, why are we sitting here at almost the beginning of March and we still not put in a acceptable, for me, an acceptable performance in for 90 minutes?
I think there's an issue with this team that is further than just trying to find us, well, trying to find some passing lanes and getting the ball moving quickly. I don't think there's an identity to the way we play. If you look at Portsmouth, if you look at Bolton, if you look at Barnsley, even as far down as Charlton last night, these teams have got an identity. We seem to turn up each week and not really know what to expect, because one week you might get the free-flowing football, the other you're lumping it 40 yards forward, and then the next you're sat back defending a 1-0 lead for 80 minutes. We're a very confusing side and you can't really put your finger on where the main issue is, because I think throughout the entire season, everyone's blamed every single position. You can blame your striker, you can blame your midfield and blame defence. But if you blame one or three, there's an issue somewhere. We are a team that won't play nice football because Paul Warne is a manager who doesn't really do that. And he didn't do that at Rotherham. And sometimes managers won't do that, but you still need to counteract it if you can, as a player on the pitch. If you can tell that going down the wings and putting 140 crosses in after 45 minutes isn't working, then surely as a player you can recognise that, okay, maybe we need to just play it inside and just try something else. But it's hard to tell. And it's like it's been the same for, what, nearly 2 years now since Warren's got in charge. And when you get into a bit of a run, you do seem to stay in the run of form. But like we saw at the end of last season, if you get yourself into a rut, you are seriously in that rut, because you do not have the football and identity to get yourself back out of it. And unlike last season where we had McGoldrick, we've not really got the players to find their way out of it, because although Mendes Lange's got the goals and assists this season, I think there's been a lot of games where he's gone very quiet. And if you don't hear from Mendes Lange, you don't hear from the rest of the forward line, because he does carry that forward line through.
We move on then from obviously that disappointment at Barnsley, and you know, I mean, for me personally, you look at it, it's again, you know, a team on the rise, a team that know how to play in League One. It was always going to be a difficult trip. We don't necessarily have the greatest record at Oakwell, so to be honest with you, as I say, the first half I thought we was okay, second half not so great, but it is what it is. But then you move into last night, Charlton, as we record this on the Wednesday. Couple of things I want to bring up straight away, Tom, is, and I'm not obviously saying that Derby fans on X or Facebook can't have an opinion, but obviously after the result, which Derby again went down 2-1 after taking the lead and making two pretty disastrous mistakes, has ended up losing as the game, which we'll go into. I see people saying, typical Derby, Charlton haven't won in 22 games or whatever it may well be, and so surprise, surprise, they've turned up at Pride Park and took all 3 points. I'm not looking to defend that, because I think last night was poor. I saw the whole game. I don't think Derby were great. But I think the Charlton were, you know, the comment about, well, Charlton basically aren't good enough and Derby should be walking through the park. Obviously, when we played the reverse fixture, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago, they just had a new manager. Yes, they'd been on an absolute dire run. And we took advantage of that at their place. Since then, Nathan Jones has come in, an absolute, you know, pedigree at this level. The last three games, well, the last couple of games, they've got a draw against Peterborough, they've got a draw against Bolton. So, it's okay saying they've not won in 22, but it's completely different to what it was 5 weeks ago. It's not like, you know, it's the same manager, the same everything. So, I think it's just trying to, you know, balance the levels a little bit. I think it's a little bit harsh turning around and saying Derby were, you know, should walk them because they've been on that sort of run, because there's been so many changes there. And it'd be interesting, I'll sort of keep an eye on it from afar, how they, you know, finish the last 10, 12 games of the season. They may well pick up a fair few more points. I think if they play like that last night, then, I you know, they're going to be trouble for a few teams in this at this level. But I'm also not defending the way that Derby played last night, because, again, very similar to Barnsley, an opening 15, 20 minutes where Derby had had a couple of opportunities. They started on the front foot without really, obviously, creating anything amazing, not forcing their goalkeeper into too many saves. And then sort of the first half for me sort of just drifted along. And then we get the chance from the set piece. Cashin's done brilliant to score the goal. You go in, you know, at 1-0 half-time, and you think, especially with a bit of the woes that we've had at Pride Park just recently, you think you've got to come out on the second half and you know, and prove your worth. And unfortunately, Derby didn't do that from the get-go in the second half. And then the two mistakes, I mean, Wall Smith's had an absolute howler again. Don't know why he's done that. And then the second one is, again, it's a mistake. It's poor defending. And you're on the end, you know, you're on the back, before you know it, you're on the back end of a 2-1 defeat. And yeah, for all of what I've just said about, you know, you can't use the excuse of, well, we should have beat them because Charlton were this, that, and the other. Again, Derby haven't turned up when it, you know, when they've been in front. I think that's a key point. Both of those last two games, we've not been in control, but we've been in front. And certainly for me as a fan, and I'm sure the, you know, the management look at it and go, well, to lose this now, we've got to concede two. And for a team that had the best defensive record in the division before, well, including Saturday, I think, you know, most teams don't score, haven't scored two against Derby. So it's like, what's...
Mm.
And again, last night, it almost felt like we took the lead, sort of sat back, allowed a bit of pressure. A stupid mistake makes it 1-1. And then, you know, as an away team, it doesn't matter if you're home team or away team, the tail's up. And Derby didn't execute their game plan the way that they should have. And ultimately, you know, we're staring at the barrel of the first, as I say, for the first time, two straight defeats, and we'll move on to it in a little bit. If it wasn't for Bolton's same form, obviously we'd be well off the pace. I mean, we shouldn't be questioning this, as we said earlier, we shouldn't be questioning this at the end of February, beginning of March, but we are. We all thought the January-February slump had kind of gone out of Derby's makeup, but clearly it's reared its ugly head, Tom, at the back end of the month against arguably, you know, a couple of games that we should have picked up points in.
No, agreed. I think you were right in what you were saying with obviously people before the game, they were saying, oh, you know, they're going to come to Derby, they're going to come to Pride Park and they're going to sit there and they're going to, like typical Derby, will get steamrolled by them. And as you mentioned, we went out there and we basically took advantage of the fact that they got a new manager. Obviously, people playing for the badge sort of thing, and the identity wasn't there. They actually played quite good football, in my opinion. We don't deal with physical, fast teams. Take, for example, Peterborough. You know, they came to us, obviously Warren kind of played a little bit of mind games where he's like admiring them from afar, that sort of thing. But he didn't really mention that with Charlton. It was that sort of build-up was kind of just, it felt like a very nothing game. But the issue was is that Charlton obviously are wanting to, like, you know, press on and push through and stuff like that. And you've got players that are probably no doubt coming towards the end of a contract and looking at renewals and stuff like that for Charlton. So as you mentioned before, like, we take advantage of it when we went away to their home ground. They come back and they've got the bit between the teeth, the tails are up and they're wanting to come at us. And as you mentioned, in my opinion, it felt very strange last night because, as you mentioned, the first 20 minutes, we had the run of play. We had the ball. We moved it around. We were trying different things out. We were building slowly. We were building quickly. It seemed like we were running through playbooks. And then when the second half started and then we made all the changes that we made within like the first 10, 15 minutes or so, the game then, for me, completely changed. You got like Dwight Gayle, who, in my opinion, looked great. But the issue was is that he was trying to play off of Max Bird and he didn't. I don't think he's got that confidence at the minute. He's got a little bit of confidence in getting goals. But the issue is that we need the people behind him to be very solid. In my opinion, that we were missing somebody along the lines of like Hourihane, just to give him that reassurance. Ibu, basically, in my opinion, he got like the leather kicked out of him pretty much all game. Charlton blatantly saw him as a threat and just marshalled him out, got him frustrated, kicked him when he was down, that sort of thing. And I think once we'd made those changes, it felt very strange. It was almost like we'd sat back off of them and let them come into it. And they were very, very quick off the counter. And obviously we've made the mistake with Wildsmith, just don't know what was going through his head. It's a carbon copy of what he's done before in the season, where he's rushed out in towards the corner of the box and just decided to try and put a foot in. And you know, 9 times out of 10 that player is going to hit the deck. As soon as you put a hair on them, that they're going to hit the floor and try and get something. You've then got, obviously, on the Ibu part as well, he got a rifled pass to him, awkward height, hit his foot, bounces off his shin awkwardly. The Charlton players then just ran through and just kept running. And then that was it, basically. It was, you know, obviously, Wildsmith there makes the save, bounces off of him straight into the path of another player. It felt very much like once we'd made those changes in the second half, we weren't getting that rough of the green sort of thing, or the run of the green, however you want to call it. Those second chances weren't there for us. We weren't getting the 50-50. I don't like blaming referees, but obviously there was a lot going on with the referee last night. I noticed that you started smiling when I said that, but yeah, it's the case of last night was an interesting one. It's not necessarily a case of the ref made that game what it was. It was more of a case of that Derby kind of played up to the chances, didn't play through the whistle, that sort of thing. So yeah, like we said before, it's kind of strange. We go 1-0 up. Why are we losing games? Why are we not going out there to progressively get that second at the moment? And it's a weird mindset. And Kai alluded to it earlier where he said, you know, we go 1-0 up, we're trying one route and it's, you know, 20, 30 passes into the box, crosses, you know, high, low, trying to play these lob balls. Surely as a player or as a captain, you know, you've got Sonny Bradley, but obviously it's mainly Horahan, should be looking at that and going like, look, lads, you know, we're not going to get through these, lads.
So, Kai, I mean, echoing sort of what Tom's just said, to be honest with you, I can't argue with anything what he's just said at all. There does seem to be a bit of a fundamental thing. And obviously, we've not really talked about the Pride Park slump either that seems to be, you know, seems to have happened over the, well, all season, really, let's be honest. And Derby, as we well know, have not been a team that have struggled at home. It's almost the away form that people have questioned. But last night, I mean, as we've just alluded to, it's very difficult to pinpoint a lot. I mean, you listen to Paul Warne's interview after the game. We'll have a chat about Paul Warne in a little minute. He's obviously not going to come on the radio and absolutely slag everybody off. I completely get that. But I mean, nobody's stupid enough to understand that, you know, things aren't quite going right at the moment, and certainly at Pride Park. And again, from a game that you go 1-0 up in, give away a nothing penalty in with Wildsmith there. Don't know what he's doing. Obviously, did it against Exeter, Oxford, whichever one he did it against. And it just makes you wonder what he's thinking of, especially for me. People have said, oh, it's, you know, you can't put it down to unassurances against the back line or anything like that, because we've played the sort of same back line all season. It's statistically one of the best back lines in the division. So why he's made that decision to come and do that, I'm a little bit unsure about. And then again, instead of then Derby taking the game by the scruff of the neck and being the home side and them being the team that pushed on, it's what Charlton did. And again, up until the last couple of minutes, the last sort of five, where Derby tried to throw the kitchen sink at it. It's, as we said, it's a little bit alarming that these things are happening now at this point in the season with 11, 12 games to go. And we've said it on the podcast quite a bit, and Paul Warne said it in his interview last night. He doesn't think they've played well all season, and they are where they are. We've said it on the podcast. We don't think they've played that well. And there's that other gear. Well, clearly that other gear just isn't there with this bunch of players or this tactic or whatever it may well be. So we've got to move on with what it is. But silly mistakes are starting to creep in, Kai, for me. And obviously at the moment, not always do they, but they are at the moment, they are costing Derby points, which obviously at this stage of the season, we could do with a raising that out.
Yeah, I think when you sort of listen to Warne's comments last night, if you really think about it, he has just blamed the players completely there, saying that he believes they need to step up the gear. That's basically taking away the blame from himself and putting it back onto the players, which is fair, it's unfair. It goes both ways because it's part manager, part team. But like we've alluded to, and we're probably going to say it constantly throughout, the rest of Warren's tenure, the team doesn't play with an identity, and then you can't really expect the players to find another gear because they don't know what gear they're in as it is. They just sort of seem to be a bit lost, and when you are lost on the pitch, that's when mistakes can creep in. Wilson's pass to Ebu Adams for the second goal was out of nothing. Wildsmith played the ball out towards Wilson instead of attacking his man and trying to play it forward. His first thought was to turn back, and that's really a great way to cost yourself when you turn, play a pass that you're not looking at. We tried to get the ball. I remember, I think it was literally just straight after the equaliser. The ball got played forward and we lost it after three passes. And you could see the pattern of the game. You could see it from when Nyambi first came off. You could see it when the second half started, that we weren't going to win that match. And if you go into a half and you can tell within the first 2 minutes that you're not going to win it, you need to change it immediately. But the changes weren't made that were the correct ones. And I think we can probably move on to that at some point as well. But it's almost like there's no real idea what to do when the going gets tough. And the issue is now we are 11 games from the end of the season and it's crunch time. And I don't think the players are ready for it. I don't think the management's ready for it. And I don't think the fans are ready for it now. You are sort of consigning yourself to playoffs. And really, if you're not careful, you will slip out of these playoffs because your likes of Stevenage are closer than you think. You were able to put a 13-point gap over them. 2 games later, it's gone. And we are a team that, if we're going to drop out, we're going to do it spectacularly. And it's coming because the performances haven't been good enough to warrant us finishing in the top two. And I don't, to be honest, I think over the course of the season, that's not warranted us being in the top six.
We'll move on to, again, another one of the many topics I want to try and squeeze into the next 25 minutes. And that is, as I say, we have to, again, talk about the management, the tactics, Paul Warren's tenure, Paul Warren's ability to get this, well, not even get this team promoted, but just what's been going on. Because it is massively, Tom, chalk and cheese from 5-6 weeks ago. And of course, we have to look at it and go, for all the haters that James Collins had, Paul Warren's got a style. Paul Warren's the way that he did it at Rotherham. He had a big man up front. You bang it up to the big man. Big man holds it up, brings the wingers into play. Balls come in the box, goals. And that's exactly what we'd done up until 3 weeks ago. Of course, Nat isn't that type of player. Sibley isn't that type of player. Wilson isn't that type of player who's played up front so far. Gale isn't that type of player. We saw a little bit of what Gale could do last night with a nice little back heel to Max Bird as we broke on a chance. And to be fair, probably should have done more from it. I'm not that I'm defending the last two games and not that I'm defending Paul Warren as a whole. Because you should, if you're worth your salt, have a different way of playing with a team that you've got. But I think it's absolutely blatantly obvious that the last three, because of Stevenage included, Derby nicked the 3 points for me in that game without playing very well. We don't have a focal point, and it really is a damaging thing. I mean, we spoke years ago with Clough, maybe, certainly Steve Mack, about Derby only having sort of a one-dimensional plan A, and that was it. I don't think you can argue at the moment that under Paul Warren, Derby have got one plan and that works effectively. They do have different plans. Obviously, we can play in different situations and different scenarios. We can twist the formation. We can twist the first team selection. But ultimately, I think the last three games has proven Derby have got plan A, and that's it effectively. And I'm obviously worried by the last 10 that we haven't got that focal point. You shouldn't have to come into this stage of the season, obviously, and have to tear up the book and go again. But that's the situation that they find themselves in. Mm. But as we said, in both games, Derby have taken the lead and then not progressed. And you can't just put that down to not having one player to hold up a ball. There's more ways to skin a cat, isn't there? You know what I mean? And unfortunately, when plan A obviously isn't available, plan B is half effective. There's something else. And you can't tell me a manager of Paul Warden's experience can't see that himself and he can't then turn around and say, well, we haven't got the players to play like this. We haven't got done this, that and the other, because I think it's there. I think it's obvious, really. I think what, obviously, since Ebu Adams come in, has been a shining light. One of the things that I think most Derby fans would have said, Derby have been a bit of a soft touch. So him coming in, I think, has bolstered that. But I think, obviously, in the two defeats, and I suppose it's highlighted because you've lost both games, that honeymoon period of that type of player has, you know, it's weaned away a little bit. I don't think he's been quite as effective in the last two. And I would agree with you, he got kicked from pillar to post last night. But if that's the type of player that he is, he should be used to that. And then there should also be a counter setup to deal with that. And again, Derby have fell short in that as well.
Mm. No, agreed. I think one of the things that I've noticed in recent games is our centre of midfield is a little bit lacking. As we've mentioned before, we've gone through the whole season and can't really pinpoint it where it's going wrong. Well, I say going wrong, but I say you can't really pin it on one thing. Like we've had seasons in the past where we're like, well, our defence has been really poor, or this hasn't really happened. We haven't really had this position. James Collins is probably one of the biggest losses that we'll have all season. No ifs or buts about it. You know, obviously that poor chap hopefully gets a chance to kick a ball for Derby County again, but is it really likely? We don't know. It doesn't look likely to be till the end, at least next season, with the stories coming out about things being like spun round in his knee and all this sort of thing. That, like, having knee problems myself, I know full well how bad they can be. But I think for Paul Warren and his staff at the minute, yes, okay, they find themselves in a bit of a situation, but surely they've must in their tenure, because obviously he's a seasoned vet. He's not like a new manager like Lampard was or Rooney was. He's a seasoned vet in terms of his managerial career, especially at this level. And he's proven, you know, he's proven to get us out of these situations. But surely he's got to know another way of approaching this next run of games, because regardless of what happens at other teams and where you've been, his staff and also the players themselves must know that, right, okay, what we're doing at the moment hasn't necessarily been as effective as it should be. You know, is there another way of looking at it? Is there a new formation? Are we playing three at the back? In my opinion, is a bit of a gamble. I think the four at the back looked way more stable when we started the season. And obviously we're lacking in that centre hold. You know, we've got Waghorn back. He looked, obviously a little bit rough and ready. Obviously not up to match sharpness as he should be. He could possibly do the job, but we are missing, like you say, that central focus for sure.
And I also think, Kai, I mean, like Tom's just said, you are missing that focal point. But then you look at a couple of the other main performers over the last 9 months. Nat's been, I think he's been a bit ineffective for the last few games, actually. And I know he's popped up again with a couple of assists, but I don't think he's been the same sort of player. Kane Wilson seems to have, unfortunately, fallen off a cliff a little bit. Obviously, the Barnsley game didn't play Nyambe for some bizarre reason, who's clearly one of, if not the best defender we've got, and we've only had him for 10 games. The chopping and changing again, a couple of injuries. I'm not trying to make excuses, Kai, but there are things there that you can sort of discuss, as we are going to, as to why things have taken, obviously, a little bit of a turn for the worse just recently.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really an excuse, because it's the same excuse any team can have. And it, well, I'll say it's not a proper excuse, but it is probably the only main excuse you get in football. If you've not got the players because they've been wiped out for injury, you are going to perform at a lesser standard. It's obvious, really. And I think there's been a loss that I think we've all seemed to have forgot, but Forsyth at left back, he's been the one throughout the years who's carried us in that position. And the reason he still plays there is because he has been brilliant for the last 10, 11, 12 years now there. And it's been a major loss in that position. I don't think anyone sort of remembered it, because it chops and changes each week with that style. And I think we are better as a flat four. I think we're better when it's Nyambe, Nelson, Cash and Forsyth. And I think we only probably saw it for 3 or 4 games before Forsyth got injured. And then obviously Nyambe went to the African Cup of Nations and then coming back with his own injury. And we are also now stuck with possibly another Nyambe injury, depending on how serious that was, what happened last night. Vaughan didn't sound overly concerned, but obviously that's right there and then, and you can never tell really until the next few days if swelling comes up. And we have been very unfortunate this year, but I think the long-term planning of the team and hasn't been good enough. I know it's harsh to criticise the recruitment team because they've not got a lot to play with, and they're also very busy with academy work as well, which goes unnoticed. And I think the new head of recruitment, Mark Thomas, I think it is, it's been slated a lot for the first team, but he is probably more focused on that academy situation, because if we don't have an academy, we don't have a future. And it's one of those where we've probably gone a little bit too old with the players we've brought in. And if you get an injury when you are older, it affects you a bit more than it would when you are more youthful. But I think the one thing that plays well in my head is James Collins, is if anyone's going to get themselves fit, it will be him. He was born to play, basically, and he gives it his all every single time he's got the shirt on. And Warren said it a few weeks ago when he first got injured, he wasn't wearing a knee brace, and that makes for good reading, really, because if he was hobbling about and wasn't really moving it, then you are in trouble, like Washington, who has managed to injure himself by being injured, which I think is unheard of, but it's Derby County, so it's normal. So we are a team full of injuries, and we've got 11 games to hobble through now, and then we can sort of say goodbye to this era of the club. I think this is the sort of post-admin team, and I think it will be a very different side come August, September, just basically because if we're still in League One, which I do think we will be by that point, you're still not fighting against financial fair play. You've still got a lot of money to use because it goes against wage structure, and if you can get your wages right, you will be able to create some sort of super team. And that's all I'm really hoping for at the moment, because I struggle to see this team in the Championship. And if we are in the Championship this side, I think we're in major, major trouble.
Normally on the podcast, we pick out a couple of players over the last couple of games, and it's not that there isn't anybody to pick out, because there's a couple of people to talk about, but I think we've got other things to focus on this week for the time that we've got. Tom, as we mentioned earlier, the first time Derby have lost two games back-to-back all season, there's certain things whilst as fans we can look at it from a management point of view, from whatever point of view, and we can have our gripes on what's been going on this season. But I want to try and, if we can, and I know it's difficult, try and put a little bit of a positive sort of spin on the last 10 minutes of the pod. Derby still sat second. Obviously, Bolton have fallen off a cliff as well. The last two games, as Kai picked out earlier, the Northwest derbies, they've succumbed to two defeats, had a man sent off, had a bit of a battering against Blackpool, obviously a team we've still got to play. And Derby are probably fortunate that they're in the position that they are. It's still in second. Obviously, I know that can change with the game in hand. But we've also not particularly lost too much ground on Portsmouth either. So, you know, just trying to put a bit of a positive spin on it as best as we can. There are still, as you say, 11 games to go. We're at the business end of the season. I know it's difficult. Because when we're bang out of, let's face it, we are bang out of form almost. We've lost our main striker. There's other things going on. But if somehow, and I don't think the management will be unprivy to what I'm about to say. You've almost got to wipe the slate clean a little bit as best as you can, and focus on obviously we'll talk Port Vale in a second, who obviously are the visitors to Pride Park, who haven't won in 23, so clearly they're going to win 3-0 on Saturday, which would just be another travesty. But obviously all the people on Twitter and every Derby County fan deserve their opinion, deserve their frustration, deserve their vent. They deserve all this, that and the other. Get him out of the club. And I must admit, I was quite against him originally. I then turned the corner and I am starting to lean again. But really, he's changing the manager now. 11 games to go. Is that the right thing? With, you know, I don't think it is. No. We're just gonna have to ride the storm. Going into obviously Saturday, it's another opportunity at Pride Park, which we know we've not been good enough at this year. But then we've got the game against Bristol Rovers midweek, which obviously ultimately we've played better away from home. Before then, technically, probably the showstopper so far, Bolton at home. For all the negative, Tom, Derby are still sat where they are. Bolton are wobbling. I think their game in hand against us is actually against Barnsley at Oakwell. So that can obviously change again. If you can get a result against them at home, I'm a bit worried about that because obviously, as we mentioned, the form against Pride Park. But it's one of them. It's a catch 22, I suppose, in some respects. And the negativity around the club, whilst I think is viable and I accept it, and I don't argue with some of it. Well, in fact, I don't argue with a lot of it. But with 12 games to go, there has to be, for me, a switch. And if that means a manager changes in the summer, that's absolutely fine. You know, whatever. And we know players are certainly going to change in the summer. It's all well and good. But sort of have your opinions, and I have no problem with that. But,
sure,
you know, don't, we can't be negative. I know I'm beating around the bush a little bit here, but you just can't be negative. Don't get me wrong, if the next 2-3 go against us, then it's a different kettle of fish. But you've got to get behind what's there. I'm not overly confident from what I've seen from the last 2 or 3 games, or well, a lot more than that, really. But certainly the last 2 or 3 are alarming because we've not got that focal point up front, which we've just talked about. But as we said, you're going into a game on Saturday, a team who haven't won in nearly 6 months. And it'd be great to see, obviously, the manager, a big part of Derby County's recent history, and Darren Moore. But you've got to stop the rot somewhere, and somebody's got to take the bull by the horns in this division. And obviously Bolton, as I say, Bolton have faltered. Portsmouth have been in and out. For all the negativity that there has been around for the last couple of weeks, they're still in a massive, for me, positive position. Take away what's been going on the pitch. If you look at it just on stats alone, and that's what it's about, the league table. Derby are still in a massive position with, like you say, 11 games to go, with a very, very winnable game at home on Saturday. A very, very winnable trip to Bristol Rovers Tuesday night. How key is it that we try and navigate them too, which wouldn't be un-Derby-like to turn round and pick up the 6 points in those two games. But we've got to go into that Bolton game in 3 weeks' time in somewhat of a little bit of form, surely. Because obviously, if they turn up to town and they give us a slapping, then yeah, we're obviously we're not looking at automatics. We might even not even be looking at playoffs.
No, agreed. I think obviously, as we said before, it will be typical Derby because, as you mentioned before, Port Vale have basically been on a really bad run. You know, they can't buy a win at the moment, unfortunately. And it, like we said before, with the Charn game, would be typical Derby. And obviously, Derby County fans, we know what it's like. We've been through the ringer, and a lot of us get fickle when we've lost so many games. I think it was nicely summed up actually last night by Radio Derby. The league's there to be won, but no one actually wants to win it, almost. And it's such a strange thing to say, but you look around the teams are dropping points where realistically they shouldn't. And Kai alluded to it earlier where he said, you know, it could be one of the lowest point scoring winners of the league or the automatics in history. And it would be like sod's law that Derby aren't that team. I think we've got to go out and prove that Pride Park is going to be a fortress for these last few games. I think it's important looking at the balance. I think just quickly bringing up the fixtures sheet here, we've got what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of the 11 are at home. So that's got to be the most important thing. Regardless, if our away form's starting to drop now, which is frustrating, obviously, being a season ticket holder, because you know, you expect them to be performing a lot better at home than away, but getting hold of streams and things like that, obviously you're having to sit at home, or if you're lucky enough to get a away ticket these days, good, because you're going to need all the support you can get to throw at it. I think managerial change, me personally, in the summer, I wouldn't get rid of Paul Warne at the minute. If we free fall that badly and get out of playoffs, then yeah, maybe we discuss it and have a look at it. But as he's mentioned, he's brought in the players that he wants to bring in for a future rather than for an immediate effect necessarily. Yes, okay, it'd be great to go out there and get somebody that's young, fit, like Ferguson from Brighton on loan or something ridiculous like that. Like, we just realistically can't do it. We are a League One team with financial problems still. You know, it's not necessarily a case of that we've not got the backing. It's just more of a case of we've got to still play by the rules. We definitely don't want to repeat in terms of ownership. Jesus wept, like, make me cry, that would. The thing is that we've got to be realistic. I think for me personally, it's not a case of ditching Paul Warne unless we do slip drastically in these last 11. I think, to be honest, he's going to be one of the guys that will get us up, realistically, in my opinion. Yes, okay, if we then start playing really, really dire football in the third year of tenure, then I'd say goodbye earlier, rather than trying to pick up somebody with like a very short bit of window available. But yeah, me personally, unless we've got a prodigy sat in the wings at the academy to fill those gaps where we've got injuries and we can't rotate the players in and out, we've just got to be positive. Like you say, you just got to back what's there. Derby County fans, for me, it always makes me smile whenever we go on a good winning run. we always start getting our tails up, and then we lose two, and we all go very, very negative very, very quickly. You know, you listen to Sports Scene from Radio Derby, and it is dire. It's not the funnest experience in the world. But I've actually sat in two places this year for my season ticket, because I didn't renew in time to get my old seats. And they are Paul Warren haters in the first new seat area, and they're ridiculous. Like, in my opinion, you win a game 2-0 is still not good enough, that's in their opinion. But go and sit in where I sit now, which is close to the away corner and the south stand. They understand the tactics a little bit better, and likewise, they kind of see that, you know, if a player is struggling, like I say, we need to see like Max Bird hit this run of form again, where he's, you know, confident. Ibu needs to basically be a little bit more protected or have a bit of weight behind him. He almost needs like another, like maybe a scrappy little brother sort of thing behind him to scoop up any messes. And basically, we just need to look at those, like the units that we've got, like Nelson. You know, obviously he was phenomenal last night, in my opinion. You know, comes out sporting a bandage around his head, looked like an absolute warrior, and was heading balls away and stuff like that. So, yeah, we've just got to get behind it. It's a difficult one, like you say. Paul Warren's stick or split. You stick with him until it goes wrong, in my opinion. I think summer's going to be a long summer if we don't go up.
Massively. But I think, Kai, obviously I'll let you have your opinion for the last comment of the pod. And it's kind of covering what Tom's just said, really. And as I say, I echoed, it's not the time to be negative. I appreciate everything that's going on, but surely that's not helping, you know, the situation either. You look at the facts, we are still second, just, with a real chance, even obviously with Bolton's game in hand and they go above us, we've still got to play them. We've still got a favourable fixture list between now and the end of the season. Yes, we've got to go to Portsmouth. We've got, obviously, Blackpool at home. But then after that, you know, there are games comfortably that Derby should be looking at attacking and taking points from. It's not the be all and end all at the moment. I do appreciate what's going on, but maybe it's just one of them. I say, with a fan base, they're all more than welcome to have their opinions, but I don't see a managerial change now making a massive difference. And you've just got to get behind the last 10, in the next 6 weeks, they're going to be massive. And you look at Bolton, who I think 5-6 weeks ago, most people would have expected to overtake Derby, overtake Portsmouth and be absolutely flying the league. And they've had a bit of a wobble as well. So, you know, unfortunately, it's just come at the wrong time sort of thing. But for me, just try and end it as positive as we can. It's still there. The carrot is still there, and Derby have got to do whatever they can, surely, to try and take it. I mean, if that ultimately ends up in the playoffs, then ultimately ends up in the playoffs. But there is a real opportunity that Derby can still get automatic promotion, and I still think Derby can somehow win the league. Yes, things have got to change a little bit. Form has got to change. But it's not as if they're 7 or 8 points out of it. We're talking a couple of points and that's that. And we've still got the two teams above us to play.
Yeah, I think that's also one of the things as well, where it's a 7-point gap to Portsmouth, but you're still to play them. So that becomes a massive 6 points. So you can drop it down to 4. Obviously, it'll close and reopen at different points throughout that. I think there's been a lot of complaints about teams coming to Derby and playing Derby, and it's been like a cup final for them. Why don't we try and treat these games as a cup final ourselves? Why don't we put the pressure on teams when they come to Pride Park that, yeah, it's a nice day out because you're in a 30,000-seat stadium, but we don't really care about your day out. We're here to watch us dominate and produce a performance that is worthy of going up. But it's a league where you go up and are promoted based off runs. You don't have to play brilliantly for 41 games a season, really. You can get by having five brilliant performances in a year and just making your way through, just stumbling over the line in the others. I think if you look at Sheffield Wednesday last year, they were on about 22 games unbeaten at one point. They got stuffed by Barnsley and all of a sudden they dropped out of the playoffs. Yes, they managed to recover and get themselves promoted in one of the most bizarre playoff semi-finals and finals ever. But you can do it. It just need to get that run at the right time. And if we are to go and win 7 of the next 11 or 8 or whatever, we will find ourselves in the championship next season. I think you only need 90 points this year. 24 points from the last 11 will see us up. And it's just getting those points now. You start on Saturday against Port Vale, a team without who haven't won in 10. And I know you can look at it in the derby perspective of, oh, Charlton were 18, 19 without a win. And Cheltenham at the start of the season, they hadn't scored a goal. And it always seems to be us. But it's not just us. It happens to every other team. And it's just, that's what is supporting a football club. You will seem to do the impossible constantly. And normally it's a negative impossible. But why not try and change the fortunes? Why not try and get that first promotion in, well, 15, 16 years? And just push yourself back into that championship, a league that I don't think you believe you belong in any league, but if Derby belong in any league, it is that second tier, because we seem to fill it out for a long time. And it's 11 games from destiny, whatever you want to call it, but it's also one match per week or one match every 3 days where you don't look ahead. You look at that one match in isolation, you win that, you move on to the next, you win that, you move on to the next. And also the final game of the season against Carlisle is probably the most favourable one we're going to get. You're playing against a Paul Simpson side who will be relegated by then. He'll probably be looking to do us a few favours just to help us out. And I'm not saying it's going to be set up ready for us. They'll be pushing the ball into the net, but you don't know what it's going to be like until you're there. But you do sort of expect us to roll them over. And if we can get to that point where you are in the position to control that final day, then that's the most important thing. You can forget about how you played back in November. You can forget about how you played in September or against Wigan at the start of the season. You'll completely forget about that if you get promoted. But we just need to go get promoted now. It's the easiest task in the world.
Yeah, but the hardest one to achieve. No, I fully agree with you. I think it's, as I say, it's not the right time to start start bringing the manager under scrutiny, that started bringing the team under scrutiny. And I'm not saying it's not justified, because things haven't been great. But yeah, the next 11, you've got to get behind it, because we say it so much on the podcast. The rest of the levels in this division aren't fantastic. If you can grind out whatever you can grind out, you do what you need to do to pick up the point. It's very easy. And I'm not sure 90 is probably going to even be needed this season, if I'm honest, but I'd agree with you. You know, I think if in the next 11, if Derby win half of them, I think they're in with a chance, because of course you've got to play a couple of the top sides. And I know obviously a couple of the top sides have still got to play each other. So I don't think Derby have got to go on a fantastic run in the next 11 and you know, but if they can grasp it for the first time really this season and actually, you know, go the next 11 unbeaten, only lose one or two, clearly they're going to be in a position where they should be able to definitely be in the playoffs, should go up automatics. And I mean, not all season have we talked about winning it, but because I don't think we've been good enough. But the reality is what the reality is. Derby are still second after being very mediocre for the last 3 weeks. And the other teams, even though the Barnsleys and the Stevenages of the league are still picking up points, it's still not been enough to overhaul us. And yeah, I would agree with what both of you said just to round it up. I think if, you know, the next two or three you know, we don't win again, then obviously alarm bells start to ring. But it only takes two wins again, and you're probably edging your bets again. But so, you know, we'll see how it goes. It's been a fantastic chat, lads. I completely appreciate you joining in. I know there's so much more we could have spoken about, but I think we've covered the main topics, and hopefully we move on to Port Vale and actually get that, you know, that run again at Pride Park going. It might only take one to spark it, and you know, I know what the run is like, and appreciate that's a bit of a dangerous thing for playing against Derby, but you never know. We could absolutely put something against them and then build on that run and look into that Bolton game in a couple of weeks. But Tom Porter, Kai Smith, thanks very much for joining the Rams Review, lads. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll have you on again soon.
Cheers. Thanks for having us. Take care.
Derby County Women defeated Exeter City 4-2 in the FA Women's National League Plate semi-finals on Sunday to set up their first ever national final versus Cambridge United. Though Exeter are a fourth-tier side, they are on an unbeaten run that stretches back more than a year in the Women's National League Division 1 South, so Sam Griffiths' side weren't in for an easy game. It was the hosts who were dangerous early on, Molly Taylor advancing down the right and cutting the ball back. Fortunately for Derby, keeper Sarah Morgan stopped it reaching an opposition player at the back post. But Taylor would open the scoring after half an hour, at a time when Derby were a player down as Amelia Wilson had been sin-binned. Sarah Stacey headed the ball onto Taylor from the edge of the box, and though Morgan got a hand to a powerful strike, she couldn't prevent it from finding the back of the net. Eleanor Ashton soon levelled for Derby, chasing Charlotte Steckle's ball from deep inside her own half down the right flank, before driving into the box and drilling a low shot into the bottom left corner. Ashton then returned the favour, floating a fine cross in from the right, which Steggles headed in from close range, meaning Derby went in at the break, 2-1 up. The youth started the second half well, getting a third goal just 5 minutes in. Amy Sims, who hit the crossbar from 30 yards out in the first half, got past two defenders down the left to put a low ball into the box, which an Exeter player put into their own net. Given hope just after the hour mark when substitute Amber Pollock found the bottom left corner from 23 yards out, but Derby would seal their place in the final, Camille Jenkins coming off the bench to score her first goal of the season. After Rebecca May found her at the front post from a corner, Jenkins fired the ball into the roof of the net with her right foot. Derby boss Sam Griffiths said that though her side always want to start well and fast, they did the opposite. However, they found a way to win, and it was important to get the victory. Griffiths also spoke of her pride in reaching the final, though said that her side won't be getting ahead of themselves, with the final against Cambridge not until the end of April. With the final still about 2 months away, the Ewes will have to put it to the back of their minds as they get back to league action, resuming this Sunday, hosting Burnley at the Don Amott Arena in a 2 p.m. kickoff.
And until the next time, up the Rams. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at Rams Review 1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast. Or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.